It's part of our honoring God. It's part of our honoring God, you know. So if we do that, it will help us. It will bless us. If there's something I've learned in life, is that God's promotion depends on faithfulness. That's it. He said, if you're faithful in the little, then I what? I will give you the big one. He said, if you're not faithful in the little, you won't be faithful in the big. So we must understand that God may not commit things into your hand because you're not faithful. I've said it over and over. Sometimes we read the Bible, we think that it's just Bible. Let's not forget that the Bible said that the word of God is God. It can't change. Not one iota will change. If God says, I will not promote you if you're unfaithful, he will never do that. I don't care how many times you fast and try to wring his hand and do stuff. There are things he will not put in your hand because you can't handle them. You are not faithful enough. So if we try going to 220 and 2020 and then resolve that 2020, I will try not to be late, especially in the things of God. I will try not to be late. Amen. We are talking about faith for praying, part 5, because of, you know, it's traditional at the end of the year to pray. And we're going to really pray in January 2 going forward. January 2, for the next 21 days of January 2, we'll devote it to praying and fasting for all of us. So we are really kind of preparing ourselves to make sure that we pray and pray aright, and that we pray and get result. So there is faith for praying. There is faith for what? Praying. And when part 5 of this thing, the Bible says in Galatians 5, 6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. By love. New Living Translation says, when someone belongs to Christ Jesus, it is not important if they are circumcised or not. The important thing is faith. The kind of faith that works through love. So, by implication, it means then that my faith and your faith will not work unless we know God's love for us. So the faith won't work because our faith works through the love of God. It's not through our love. The human love is very fickle. It's excited when things go well. And when things don't go well, the love turns into hatred. Human love is as fickle as the flesh. You can't depend on it. You are friends today, tomorrow you don't talk to each other. That's human love. The love of God is constant. It's totally constant. So our faith works through this love. And so if we do not know this love, it means that our faith will not work. So, it's important for us to actually really pursue to understand the love of God. On coming Sunday, by the grace of God, if God will lead me that direction, you will see how knowing the love of God will change your life without effort. Totally change your life without effort. Completely revolutionize your life totally without effort. But right now, we're talking about how this love of God is what our faith works through. So why does faith work through love? Why is it that faith works through the love of God? Why? Does anybody know? Why is it that faith works through God's love and not through anything else? So, faith requires trust. Faith is trust. So, why is it that trust won't work unless it's through love? Christ is what? The love of God. You are near to the kingdom. You're almost there. Huh? Because of the love of God. We got everything because of the love of God. We got everything because of what? The love of God. And so, let's make it a little bit deeper here for us. Understand, number one, that God purchased all your blessings. God, all the blessings of God is not free to God, but it's free to you. Because God is a God of justice. God is just. He can't play unfairness. So God paid a price for all our blessings with the blood of his son. And he gave us his son as a gift of love. So if we do not believe in the gift of love, we are most likely not to believe in the blessings that God paid for. We're going to make effort to pay for them. And we have nothing to pay for anything God is giving you and me. Jesus said that he brought the gospel to the poor. Those who have nothing to pay. Zero. Nothing. No strength. While we were without strength, we had no strength, had nothing to pay. Absolute zero. Nothing. And we must understand that because it is fully paid for, nothing else is required from us. If I go and pay for something for you, there is nothing required from you anymore. Am I right? Come on, church. Am I correct? So the only thing you do is to go and collect that. When you go to a shop, there is a line for online order pickup. When you go to pick up anything, you don't go there with your credit card to pay because it is already paid for. You don't go there with any other credit card. And when Jesus said it is paid in full, actually they said that what he said on the cross, when he said it is finished, is that it is fully paid for. And so because God purchased every blessing, and he purchased it with the gift he gave us. He gave us Jesus as a gift of love. As a gift of love. As a gift of love. Number two, we cannot possibly have faith to receive anything from God based on any other premise, because any other premise will exclude Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his blood, which is the only basis for everything God gave us. He purchased it with the blood of his son. You cannot have faith that works with God when you trust anything else. Anything else except the gift of love that he gave. You cannot have faith that works with God. It's not possible. It's not possible. And we as Christians, we trust all manner of things because we've been brought up with legalistic systems. We've been brought up with a lot of wrong teachings. Hardly in all my life as a Christian did I hear anybody preach about Jesus Christ. I can't remember one time. I never remember one time. Hardly did anybody teach on the love of God to us. Hardly did I hear anybody teach on the grace of God to us. Hardly did I hear anybody explain Jesus to me. In all my, even became a pastor. But what we are being taught and emphasized is how we must work hard to be holy. And we should be holy. So we all concentrated our efforts on trying to work hard to be holy. Nobody told me about Jesus Christ. Nobody taught it. One time, I even had to ask a Bible college lecturer to come and teach us about the grace of God. And my wife is a living witness. When he came, he said, I don't know what to tell you people. I don't know much about the grace of God. He said, I need to unlearn everything I learned in Bible college. She's a living witness. I didn't make it up. You were there. He said, I need to unlearn everything. He said, I don't know much about the grace of God. So I don't know what to teach you. So having grown up with that kind of mindset, my perception of God is wrong. Because I see God as a master out there who is watching me and making sure if I dare make one false move, Bro Chris was with me with one brother working for us. He said he doesn't take Holy Communion. You know his reason? He said, because I'm not good enough to take Holy Communion. I didn't say anything because there's a distance you come from. I don't know where to start. Because I know him very well. Where he is far. It's far. So in that kind of mindset as Christians, we put our faith in so many things we've been taught, including working so hard, and then the day you feel that you are holy, that's the day you feel God will accept you. Now here comes the gospel. Here comes the word of God. And say, no, sir. No, sir. That God paid for all his blessings for you. All of it. So now, I'm struggling. It's a struggle. I was discussing with some people. You know, even we preachers sometimes, we start preaching grace and mix it up with works because we're not clear about this. We haven't done that. We're afraid or somewhere. We haven't really, really caught it very well. I thank God for this youth that I preach. When Chidera said that, and it caught my spirit. He said, the gospel in its purest form is true. Absolutely true. There is contaminated gospel. There is the purest form of the gospel. Let me tell you the difference. The purest form of the gospel is exclusively what God did through Christ. That's the purest form. The contaminated form is what Christ did and what men mixing up. That's what Paul was talking to the Galatians. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit by all distance? Is it not by hearing of faith? He said, how can you be so crazy that you reject the purest gospel? Now you go to mix it up. He said, you saw Christ on the cross. We taught you this thing. I struggled myself personally for years to come to terms with the grace of God. Because of some wrong doctrine is very, very dangerous. That thing is terrible. I'm not kidding you. The devil uses it effectively. No wonder Paul wrote to his son. He said, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. That when you do this, you save yourself and those who hear you. Wrong doctrine can sit in your heart for years and rob you of God's blessings. Quietly like a raisin, you won't know. It puts brake. If you want to move, boom, stops. And then you'll be struggling with a lot of things. You and I cannot possibly have faith to receive anything from God based on any other premise that excludes Jesus Christ, that excludes his blood. It's not going to happen. Because the payment for it is Christ and his life. You can't bring another payment. The exclusive payment for every divine blessing is the cross. It's where Jesus paid with life and shed his blood. I was telling them yesterday, I said, do you know why Jesus would tell people? He will heal them. I would tell them, don't tell anybody. A lot of them, he will heal them. He said, don't do what? Tell them. It's because I asked the Lord, I said, why do you tell people, don't tell anybody? He said, because I hadn't gone to the cross. He said, that thing I was doing is wonderful, but the main story was the cross. Because it's that gospel that will bring salvation to people. And when he went to the cross and now defeated the devil, defeated sin, pay this price. And the blessing becomes massively available. He said, now go to all the world and preach the gospel. Go and now tell. Not about those healings, but what I did on the cross with him. And he sent his spirit to come and explain this to the church. We can't. So if the only payment for all my blessings is Christ and his life, his blood, then the only premises for me to be able to receive it is to put my faith on what he did. And that he did is simply because God loves me, that he gave me his son to do that for me. That's why faith works through God's love. Simply because God loves me. I cannot think of any other thing I did that made Jesus go to the cross. After all, he went to the cross before I was born. He didn't wait for me to be born, to come here, to impress him. John put it right. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. He paid it all. All of it. Paid in full. And so unless we accept the gift of his son, unless we accept the gift of his son, our faith will inadvertently be on something else and will not see that gift. John 3:16 is the scripture we all know, but the scripture many people don't understand the implication. We even quote it to people, but we ourselves, have we even sat down to say, Lord, open my eyes to this John 3, what? 16. What is it? Remember that when the Holy Spirit wrote that thing, he told us that this love I'm talking about passeth human understanding. So you can read it easily, but do you really know it? The difference between reading something, preaching something, and knowing it, they're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. You know, why the church is struggling with preaching sin and whether we preach sin or not is because they don't know the love of God. Do you know Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus. Remember our friend Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus now. Okay, you don't know Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus. I like to call him Zacchaeus. When I get to heaven, I talk to him. Zacchaeus was a short man. Zacchaeus in any church will not be accepted. They will not accept him for what? He was a typical Nigerian police officer. One of the experiences I've had as a pastor is a police officer giving testimony in our church. The day he came to give testimony, Pastor Tunde said, he said, Pastor, what do we do? I said, let him give his testimony now. What, can you stop him? He said, I have testimony. Ah, he said, praise the Lord, though. He said, every day I make 5,000 from the street. He said, this day I was sick. I didn't go. And the federal people came and collected all my colleagues. He said, praise the Lord with me. Everybody. I do praise God with you. They should have collected them too. He said, I make 5,000 every day when we go out. He said, this day I was sick. Hey, he said, the Lord is good. So can you imagine that man and Zacchaeus is the same thing. Now here comes Jesus coming. Zacchaeus climbs on top of a tree. Very short man. Wanting to see Jesus. And Jesus knew that this man was seeking him. Brethren, come on Sunday. I will show you how we're doing Christianity without Jesus. And we don't even miss him. I'm telling you. We don't miss him. We're smart enough. We've learned how to live without him. So somebody was seeking him. He knew who was genuinely seeking. He walked straight to the man. No effort. He went there. And said to the man, I've come to stay in your house. Didn't say I came to visit you. You know, I came to stay. Stay. Do you know me? Sir, do you know who you are? Stay. I'm a thief. I'm a Nigerian police custom officer combined. That's what I do. I collect tax. I take bribe. I steal. Jesus said, I still want to stay. Think of it for a minute. Why did that man repent? Was there any preaching about Ten Commandments? Eh? He came face to face with the purest type of love. God is love. He came face to face with divine love. The thing penetrated his heart and broke it down. And the man did something. He said, I'm going to return everything I have what? So, how many times? No sermon, no Ten Commandments, no you are going to hell. No. And you can find another woman who came to Jesus pouring out her heart in appreciation. A prostitute. And the Pharisees said, if this man knows the type of... They didn't know the love of God. But she found something precious. She found something precious. And when she found it, she brought the costliest ointment she has and poured it on Jesus. Her love for Jesus was just amazing. It's amazing. So if you haven't seen this love that they have seen, that these people saw, this love that Zacchaeus saw and had an instant revolution in his heart, and this love that the prostitute saw, if you haven't seen it, your faith will not be in it. And if my faith or your faith is on anything else apart from this gift of love, who is Christ and his blood and his death on the cross, if my faith is on anything else, that thing will exclude Jesus totally. And that faith is not on the solid rock. It won't stand. Am I communicating? And because we've been brought up in this legalistic system, it is something you must pray yourself out of. God must open your eyes to see his love. 1 time I was going from 62 Akiwumi to my house, walking. All of a sudden, it happened just in an instant. My eyes, I wasn't seeing vision like that. The love of God overwhelmed me. I began to cry. And everybody that passed by, I wanted to hug them. I'm not kidding you. I restrained myself from hugging them, telling them how much I love them. Everybody that passed by me, I was restraining myself from going there and hugging them. Is there anything I can do for you? The thing overwhelmed me. I was living in a different world, and yet I was walking on the road. That's what Paul was talking about. The love of God now controls me. I'm not controlled by Ten Commandments. I'm not controlled by whether you give me something, don't give me something. That's what controls me. It's the love of God that controls me. So if we do not have this understanding of the truth of God's love, we'll find it difficult to trust God for what he's giving you. Because it will look so simplistic. So the tendency is to try to make it what it should look like. And so I need to do this and do that and do that, do that. But when you go to that counter where you're going to do pickup, it's already paid for. It's simple. You just go there and show your receipt. And the whole thing is packaged and given to you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. We really are in the counter to do pickups. That's already paid for. So faith works through knowing that God paid for this thing for me because he loves me. That's why he paid. So that John 3:16 says, for God so loved what? He didn't even say for God so loved only Christians. If he said Christian, that'd be amazing. But he said, the world, talk of the world. Have you ever thought of the world? Bin Laden. Think of the world, man. Think of the worst criminal in the world is in the world. And yet the Bible said, love not the world and the things. That would tell you the world is not really a wonderful place. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 8:32 made a very powerful statement here. Very powerful statement here. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his son. Man. He that spared not what? His own son. But delivered him up for how many people? All of us. He asked a question here. How shall he not with him also freely give us what? He said he spared not his son. He paid for it for you. How can he withhold it from you? After he paid, he didn't spare his son. He gave his son as a gift of love to give me something. He said, how can the same God not freely give me what he paid for? Think of it for a minute. Can you put that verse in New Living Translation if you are able? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for how many people? All of us. Won't he also give us everything else that he paid for? That's what God was telling Paul. My grace is what? Sufficient. I love you enough that my love is sufficient for you. My love has paid for everything you need for life and godliness. Fully paid for, Paul. In any situation, it's fully paid for. And that's why we say he's beautiful in all situations. Look at Ephesians 1:14. The Spirit is God's what? The Spirit, Ephesians 1:14. The Spirit is God's what? Guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised us. And that he has what? Purchased us to be. Did you see the word purchased? He purchased me and you. That's why we say the Lord is my portion in the land of the living. He did this as he would. He did this so we will simply praise and glorify him. The Spirit is God's guarantee now. That statement is wonderful. Because what the Spirit of God is telling us, the believers, is that when the Spirit of Christ comes into you, the Bible says if you have the Spirit, then you belong to him. Are you following me up to here? If you don't have the Spirit, then you are none of it. So he says, the Spirit is God's guarantee. So now when I have the Spirit, it means now I'm a child of God. Which means I've come into this inheritance that belongs to us, that Jesus paid for. He says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that all the inheritance that he promised us is my own. How many of us have the Spirit of Christ in us? What is that Spirit? A guarantee. I didn't hear you. A guarantee. Who gave that guarantee? Only three people said. Who gave that guarantee? God gave you the guarantee. What does the guarantee mean? An assurance. What other word? Some of you have, they are doing cell phone sales. You would have bought one. Now you can check it on your cell phone. Huh? What is guarantee? Guarantee. Assurance? What else? Huh? Sorry. Huh? Security, right? Is that proper? Security? A title deed. I know what you mean, security. You're saying, I've secured it for you. In that same year, I think it can pass. Right? What other word do we have for guarantee? Surety. Okay, now, if I come and come down here and I give my brother, Ezendokwere, my brother, come. And I give him something. I go to the corner. I say, hey, I want to give you something. This is a guarantee that if you go to Macy's, you see all those clothes there, what will he do? What will he do? He have two options. Which is one option? Go. Or if he doesn't go, he doesn't trust this guarantee. He thinks this is not true. And the devil will convince you it's not true. And you buy into his lie. You sit down there. All those things paid for, you do without them. Thank you. You do without them. And be complaining to God. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Guarantee. Why? Fully paid for. Fully paid for. Totally paid for. Acts 20, 28. So guard yourself and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church. Purchased with his own blood. Purchased with his own blood. Now, as a result of this payment that God did, look at now Matthew 10:8. Matthew 10:8. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. Is anybody left behind? I can go back. Okay, Matthew 10:18. It says, number one, do what? I want us to read it together. Number one, do what? Number two, do what? Raise the dead. Let's start again. Number one, do what? Heal the sick. Number two, do what? Raise the dead. Number three, do what? Cure those with leprosy. And number three, do what? Cast out demons. Why? Give as freely as you have also received. Put it in the King James Version. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Why? Freely you have what? Received. So freely also give. What he's saying is that I paid for your healing. Paid for your deliverance. You are free. You're no more under the spell of the devil. All these things are free. You are not dead. You are alive. You are alive now. You are no more dead. You have life now. I came that you have life and have it what? Marble. He said, all these things, you receive them freely. Now go also and let people receive them freely. You receive them freely. I paid for you for your healing. You've been cleansed. You know, leprosy is a symbol of sin. You've been cleansed. You have life. You are no more under the power of Satan. Freely you receive them. Freely you received all of this. Freely you what? Receive. Freely we what? Receive. I want to hear you. Freely we what? Receive. Did you hear? Did he say freely you will receive them? Freely you have received them. Freely you have receive them. Let's say it. Freely I have received them. And let's say it again. Freely I have received them. Let's say it louder. Come on. Freely I have received them. Come on. Let's say it one more time. Freely I have received them. So he said, when you minister to people, it's free too. There is nothing from God that is not free. That's what he told me about this school. He said to me, he said, where did you read in the Bible? I'm a businessman. He said, you turn my thing into business and you go asking the heathens how much they charge. You charge people like the heathens. He said, did you consult me? Did you ask me? He said, why did you read that I do business? He said, I'm the God of heaven and earth. I own heaven. I don't need business. He said, I do things freely. I do things out of love. He said, I planted you in a poor neighborhood. And then you want to go and take money from them? For what? He said to me, he said, who owns the church, the school or the church? I said, you own the church. He said, so? But you think that school is your God? Say, because you've been calculating how much the church will make and predicting that you pay off your mortgage in 2 years from the school. He says, so your confidence is now the school. So you are looking up to the school. Praise the Lord. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received these things. Now freely what? Give. Now how about the pastors that ask you to bring $10,000 praying for you? And you do give them. You give them. I've been a Christian 10 years, 15 years, and you don't understand God's love. That this is love. That's why you give to the pastors. You want to pay. Somebody told me, said, Pastor, I'm so ashamed. I can't even tell you how much they took from me. He said, I'm really so ashamed of myself. And he said, all this while I've given them money, I nearly separated with my husband. We were at the brink of divorce. Until somebody invited me to this church. He said, God gave you a word of knowledge. He was examining me. And as you were saying, something hit me. I hit the chair. Boom. So that was the end of it. And I said, so I don't have to pay. I said, how much did you give them now? He said, Pastor, I'm so ashamed. I can't tell you. Yeah. Some of you still pay. Call you by phone. Is it what the scripture says? I'm asking you. So why do you do that? You want to buy God's blessing? Did you know what the Holy Spirit said? Peter said to Simon, he said, because you want to buy the gift of God, you are cursed. Because, you know, we shift. We don't know the love of God. We shift our faith to men. When God was calling Samuel, when Samuel didn't know God, he knew who he went to? Eli. When you don't know the voice of God, you go to men. When you know the voice of God, you go to God. Let me repeat that. If you don't know the voice of God, you what? Go to men. But when you know the voice of God, you know who called. You say, speak, Lord, for thy servant what? I'm right here. Romans 6:13. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift, somebody said to me, said the church doesn't preach the whole of Romans 6:23. They preach the first part to frighten people. The wages of sin is what? They stop there. But that's not all the Holy Spirit is saying. He said, but the gift now, come on, church, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid for it. If he didn't pay for it, we won't have eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. So which means you will never have eternal life by any other means except what Jesus paid for. Can I hear amen? I want to hear a bigger amen. And Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you what? Saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift. Did you see the word gift? All over the place, gift. All over the place, gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of. See the word grace, which is love, that is grace, is unmerited. Grace and the gift, what gift is there? Of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So we see that justification is a free gift Righteousness is a free gift. Free gift. All of them through Jesus Christ. Because he paid for all of them. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Free gift of righteousness, justification, free gift. All of them paid for through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Who has blessed us? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Romans 4:13. Romans 4:13. Romans 4:13. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. I'm going to verse 16, really. Romans 4:16. That's where I'm going. So, the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. It is given as a what? Free gift. I'm reading New Living Translation. Romans 4:13. Clearly. What is clear? What is clear here? What is clear? What is this saying that is clear? It's obvious. What is this saying that's obvious? God's promise is what? To give the whole world to... No, I'm talking of Romans 4:16. Sorry, not 13. 16, please. 16. So the promise is received by what? Faith. It is given as a what? Free gift. Why free gift? Why free gift? Why free gift? Huh? Why free gift? Who paid for it? Why? When Christ paid for it, who gave us Christ to pay for it? Why did God give us Jesus? I want to hear you. Why did Christ, God give us Jesus? Faith works through that love. If you don't know, if you are not convinced, if you are not persuaded that God gave you Jesus out of love, you would think that these other gifts, you work for them. I'm telling you the truth. The human mind works like that. If you don't understand and believe that God gave you Jesus out of love, you are not going to receive his healing, all these things we are reading, you won't receive them. You are going to try to work for them one way or the other. You are going to try to work for them one way or the other. And the scripture keeps telling, free gift. Free gift, free gift. This is 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 free gift. But because of our background and the many years of what we've had, this free gifting is something we look at with suspicion. How can it be free gift? Are you saying free gift? So people do what they like? No, it's because you don't know the love of God either. Because when you come in contact with, when Zacchaeus came in contact with the love of God, he wasn't doing what he lacked. He wasn't anymore. He said, I was a thief. Now I'm going to restore what I stole. Praise the Lord, somebody. Come on, praise the Lord, somebody. When you come in contact with the love of God, you're not talking, your life will... Read the Bible and see everybody that came in contact with God's love. They don't remain the same. Okay, let me tell you something that will surprise you. Do you know before Moses came, there was no law? Come on, church. Huh? Why? Why didn't God say, I'm going to give them law? Because God knew that man can't keep this thing. And God has always been dealing with man based on grace and mercy. And then, let me give you the news now. You see, all these people that the Bible recorded, Noah, what did the Bible say about Enoch? Huh? He pleased God. He walked with God. Did you know how? There was no law. So how did God say Enoch walked with him when there was no law? Enoch simply believed God. Trusted God. Because what was the law on which God based this Enoch pleasing me? There's no law. None. And then those people who lived in those dispensation, I want you to hear this. So read that to your Bible. Those people who lived in that dispensation had the greatest relationship with God than people who lived under the law. Go and read about it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You know, that was what God was showing Moses. Said, Israel wanted to see power, miracles. And Moses went to God and said, show me your ways. I want to know your ways. And God began to reveal to Moses that I will show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. And he began to teach Moses that the only way a man can see God is through grace. That's what they taught him. When Moses said, show me your glory, he said, I'm going to hide myself where? Where? At a rock. Who is the rock? Jesus. And then Moses said, if I have found grace, God says, sure, now I'll show you. You're going to see me, but not, because no eye will see me and live. He said, now I'm going to show you similitude of me. Because he said, okay, Lord, based on grace. And God said, yeah, the only reason a man will see God is through grace. Because there's nothing a man will do to merit the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We must rethink ourselves. You must make effort. I'm telling you the truth. You must make serious effort in this December, January prayer time. Look, all this laundry list of things, can you put them aside and go to God like Moses and said, I need to know your love. I need to understand your grace. I need to know the basis of my faith. I guarantee you, you will be saying, what have I been doing all my life? It's so easy. It moves you from effort to effortless. It moves you from failures and confusion and to what am I supposed to do next, to seeing the glory of God. Jesus said, only believe and you will see the glory of God. That's all. That's all. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's all. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. Very simple. So when you are praying to God, understand that what you're asking God to do is free. He will do it for you if you believe that Jesus paid for it. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Believe he paid for it. And they don't bring your faith based on any premises that excludes Jesus and his blood and everything. No. That's why the scripture says, those that trust in him, they will never be put to shame. It's not possible. It's not possible. Now, there are some people in church who doubted this thing. And there are still people in church who doubt it. There are still people in church who doubt it. Romans 9:30. What does all this mean? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right. Romans 9:30. What does all this mean? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God. And it was by faith that this took place. Continue. But the people of Israel who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law. Never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of by simply what? Trusting in him. They stumbled over the great rock of in their path, Jesus Christ. They stumbled. It's like Jesus is there, they didn't see him. The word stumbling means they didn't see him. He's there, they didn't see him. I'm telling people the truth. In the present day Pentecostal movement, many people don't see Jesus. They stumble. Somebody was telling us, me and Paul Chris, how in his church they were having issues with him. And he told them, he said, if you people bother me now, I'm going to tell you all these our leaders that go to club. He said, I will name all of you in public now. He said, I will name all of you in public. You are leaders, you go to club. I meet you in the club. We all go to club. You come here and be telling me something. What do you think happened? Everybody, because they go to club. There are people in this church who still go to club. Yeah? I'm telling you what I know. I know it. I don't talk to them. I don't bother them. They think I don't know. But they go. They go to club. And then he said, another contractor chopped 70,000 of their church. And when they called him to make trouble, he said, why are you bothering me? He said, some of your leaders, I gave them money now. If you bother me, I'll tell you who took the money. Everybody shut up. So they paid him 70,000, went outside and took bribe from. So the man chopped the rest of the money, didn't do anything. I've told you that we do church without Jesus. We've become so smart. We found a way to succeed without him. Can do 10 jobs, 3 jobs. So things are flowing, money is flowing. I don't really need Jesus. See why I was saying on Sunday that God said, don't ever say my hand has what? Because once your mind comes to your hand has done this thing for me, you will never see the need of God again. I'm telling you, you won't see the need of God again. You are coming to church, you'll be watering just to fulfill all righteousness. You don't see the, you can get on without him. You don't even miss him. Because my hand does all this thing. That's why God said, don't do it. Don't try that. He said, remember, I'm the word that gives you power. We forget because success can get into your head. Especially once we see dollar flow. The Bible says all this gift is free from God and given and received only by faith. So these people, they refused. They say, our hand will do it for us. So they worked harder. Man, if you see where we were working hard to please God, my wife later told me, this is my wife. I thank God for keeping you from you. He told me, say, my husband, they say, those days I will have headache every day. Because every day I'm judging myself and wondering, did I commit sin here? Did I place God here? He said, I'll be doing that. He said, my head will be pounding with headache. And he said, every day I was asking Jesus to please come. So that I will escape this. Right? She said, you want to go back to your people? That's what you said. I'm not kidding you. It was so stressful. Every minute we were judging ourselves. Oh my God. And we were never good. Never trusted God. Never believed in God. And the worst of it all is that I was being ruled by the flesh. 100%. It's part of all of that. Woo! My emotions were, they had the better of me. Because I'll get angry at a drop of a hat. I'll do this thing. I'll do that. Talk to you again. I'll judge people. And I thought it was okay. If you come to my house, we'll put a sermon for you and go into the room and be praying for you to repent. And yet you're a Christian. We are doing it. We're going to the room and be praying for you to repent. Because we didn't know any better. Our neighbor upstairs, very loving man. He will visit us, love us. You know, I didn't know Christians smiled. I'm telling you, I said, do Christians laugh? He's laughing. Is he not going to heaven? This is a serious thing. This man is laughing. You know, doesn't he understand that we must make heaven? And he's laughing. So I didn't think they were Christians, but he loved us every day, visit us. He bring me shit. I said to my wife, do Christians give gifts? He gave me shit. He bring me this. He gave me. And between us and them, they were living in the fullness of Christ. We were living without anything. Listen to this. We will do evangelism in the whole compound. They will follow Frank. They won't follow us. And Frank never did evangelism. Everybody followed him because they loved him. He was so nice, so kind. The man was one of the nicest human beings I met in my life. And one day I went to our leader. I said, I think there are other Christians around. I met one. I said, that man, Frank, is a Christian. He didn't need to tell me I'm born again. I said to our leader in church, I said, I met a Christian. He's a Christian. And I told him, I said, his life is so different from our own. I said, invite him to come and teach us what he knows. And our leader invited him because me and our leader were struggling. So the man came and taught us. Praise the Lord. So this gift is free. It's freely given. Jesus paid for it, and we must understand the love of God. Look at the early church, what they said. 1 John 4:16. We know how much God loves us. We know how much what? God loves us. Can we read it together? We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust what? In his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. Tell me that if you live in the love of God, you live in sin. That's not what the Holy Spirit said. He said, no, those who live in love, they live in God. And God lives in them. That's why the scripture said to us, keep yourself in the love of God. Not in the laws of Moses. Keep yourself in the love of God. And these people were bold. Talk of God exploding in their lives. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 4, 33. Can we read it together? The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of what? The Lord, you see, their focus was Jesus. And God's great blessing was upon some of them. Why? He said, we know the love of God. We believe it. If you live in love, you live in God. And see the result of this knowing. Their faith was alive. So we trusted in his love. Put King James Version of that verse. King James Version. And with great power, gave the apostles what? Witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them. How many Christians today testify of the resurrection of Christ? How many? From January to December. How many? Look at it. Because they knew the love of God. They trusted in it. God exploded in their life. The Spirit of God was working amazingly in their life. And look at what the Spirit was doing through them. Great grace, great power, great manifestation, great. Because they said, we have come to know the love of God for us and we're trusting it. They said, if you live in love, you live in God and God lives in you. Look at the result. I want to ask us, in 2019, is it the testimony of Christians today? Great power? Is it the testimony? Great grace upon them? Is it the testimony? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We can't do without him. You can't do church without him. You can't live without him. All this, my hand has done this thing, will take you away from him. It will disconnect you. It will delink you right away. It is reliance on him. It is trust in him. It is faith in him. He is the love of God in manifestation. Jesus, the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to see this love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It will bring you to this point of great power in your life. It will bring you to testifying of the resurrection of Jesus. It will bring you to a place of great grace upon your life. Great grace. People deal with you, they will testify and say, God is with this man. That was the testimony they gave about Jesus. For God was with him. That should be the testimony people should give about us. Not, he fights a lot at his job, no. At your job, they will be saying, there is a presence that goes with this person. Because great grace is upon him. Praise the Lord. Did you get what I'm saying? If you caught a shout, hallelujah. I want to give you a minute, please, to go to your pickup point. Pickup point is that place you are. And take what they paid for. Right now. If it's healing you want. God threw a party. It's called buffet. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a rich man who threw a party. Does anybody get what I'm talking about? You go to pickup point right there. Can we rise up? Go to your pickup point. Jesus paid for it. And take what you want. He said, healing is the children's bread. It's there. Make it a table before you in the presence of your enemies. It's there. It's right there. It's right there. Go and take your package. It's right there with your name on it. Right now. And it works for you. It's a gift of love. Peace. He brought us peace. There should be peace in your home. There should be peace in your heart. There should be peace. You shouldn't live in fear.